All right, and today's episode, we're going to be talking about entrepreneurship and what it takes to be an entrepreneur and what steps, what are the big steps that you're going to take or that you do take, like jumping off the cliff and joining us entrepreneurs in Silicon Valley.
It's Mauricio Mejia live. Entertainment guru, Silicon Valley entrepreneur, author, and speaker. It's Mauricio Mejia live.
All right, guys, welcome to Mauricio Mejia Live, Season 3, Episode number 4. And today, I have the honor and the pleasure of having Zach Waldron here today. He is the owner, founder, creator of Tailored by Design, a placemaking consulting company for events, entertainment, and restaurants, and retail.
Yes, sir.
You got a bunch of different things under this umbrella. Got
to keep my hands in the pot. You know how it is.
Well, that's how it all comes together, and it seems that we got a lot of great things that we're going to be talking about today. But first off, give us a little history about you, and give me some of that Zach Waldron background.
Yeah, man. I mean, I started out a kid from the burbs. Nothing special. I didn't come from the school of hard knocks like you did. I was fortunate enough to grow up in just a great house. Mom, Dad, love you. They'll watch this later, so I want to at least call them out a little bit. But no, I started out just having this love of food. And when you're in elementary school and they have you like create your first resume and they have you put like an objective at the top, my objective literally was I wanted to own a snack shack. Mm-hmm. Because back then I was like a baseball player and I was in sports and you would always go to the snack shack after you played the game. Mm-hmm. So just was always obsessed with restaurants. Fell into this weird space when I entered into college and started DJing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I want to definitely dive into that DJ world, because my background, 25 years entertainment to nightclub, concerts, events, and production. Mm-hmm. That's how we all started connected is we used that entertainment part. And that when you mentioned the DJ stuff, I was like, and we started talking about production. That's when I started to start connecting the small dots. Mm-hmm. Then, which is going to lead into some of the bigger stuff we're going to talk about later on.
Totally. And I think when you enter into that kind of nightlife scene, for the positives and negatives it has, you learn very quickly there's a level of hustle that it requires in owning your own business. You might be like a talented person, but if you're a DJ, you find out very quickly you're not just there to play music, right? No. You're there to network with the promoters, to provide value to the venue, to curate a particular environment that then leads to a fantastic night in hopes mm-hmm. that you then generate a relationship and generate ongoing business, which is set a pretty core foundation to basically how to operate in any business sense, right? Like if you're a promoter, they always say like, if you're a baseball player, you're only as good as your last at bat. Like,
that's right.
It's the same thing in the nightlife industry. Like,
absolutely.
As a DJ, you're only as good as your last set.
That's
as
right.
You're an event management person, like, you're only as good as your last event.
Yep.
And hopefully, through curating relationships, you have a sustainable business model.
Right. Well, there is a hustle in the business, right? Because every week it's different. And every week it's a different vibe. It's a different energy. And we become the master. I call it the orchestrators, the ringleaders, mm-hmm. right? As the owner operator, it was my job, one, to greet everybody that came in. And it was my job to also work. And that's how I started my career was. Yeah. It was the promoter DJ relationship. My job is to bring all the people in. Your job is to take them on the ride. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, the goal was to make sure that the club or venue made as much money as possible, because you don't always want to keep the dance floor jam-packed, because then the bar's not making any money.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So there's a whole formula to it. And then you learn to master that formula. And I've never had the patience to be a DJ. That's why I know all the music. I know how to mix.
Yeah.
I know how to do it. But I just can't stay still behind the turntables.
Yeah.
So there's no way. There's no way. But that's why it always worked. Now, I wanted to always be that guy that just was saying hello to everybody, hugging, kissing everybody,
shaking
popping
hands
bottles,
and kissing babies. Yeah.
Popping the bottles but because that's an important part, right? Because as much as you take them on that roller coaster ride, you want to make everyone feel special.
Mm-hmm.
And as a DJ, that's what your job is too.
Yeah.
You want to take them on the ride. And I've seen there's moments where there's a lot of people that start coming asking for those requests, and if you can hit those requests right without being like a jukebox, but you can do them quickly.
Yeah,
all of a sudden you start winning the crowd,
mm-hmm.
and then the crowd starts to get into it, and the next thing you know, the party's jumping.
Yeah, it's musical momentum, right? You're taking them. I like how you're talking about taking people on a journey or taking them on a roller coaster. It goes back to what we'll be talking about a lot more later, which is just like user experience, right? Like, what is the experience and the place that you're creating for somebody to interact with?
Right.
So was DJing down in San Diego, college, having a fantastic time, moved back to the Bay Area. I had kind of the core three, I like to call it. I had family. At the time, I had a relationship that was important to me, a romantic relationship, and then I had a job offer. So I had job, family,
right,
and a girl. So it was like, all right, move back to the Bay Area. So wanted to find my way into restaurants. Ended up getting a gig with a really talented restaurateur, Adriano Paganini, who runs a Back of the House restaurant group in San Francisco. And was working on their fast casual concepts. We launched a fried chicken sandwich shop called The Bird.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first kind of like touch into a restaurant opening. I did everything from like, we worked on the menu together. I got to have a say in like which sriracha sauce we picked for the fried chicken sandwich. And then I was scraping windows. We were going over interior design. I got to curate the playlist because I had the DJ experience. I could curate the playlist that was playing like in the restaurant. And I just fell in love with it, man. It was like, wow, this is so cool to be a part of this restaurant opening. How can I do more of it? So
Right. When
my employment ended there, ended up starting my own kind of like small business consulting firms where TBD started. It's been called TBD since like day one, which is
wild. I love the name, by the way. Tailored by Design. I think that just, it just has a zing to it. Mm-hmm. It has a flow.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And the real thought process behind the name, one, TBD, it was like a play on two things. One, I like the acronym TBD. Mm-hmm. It's like whatever it is, like the experience is to be determined. We're going to find out what it is. But to be determined was really hard to nail down for like a business name. So what I wanted to do was Tailored by Design was creative because it was meant to say essentially we're doing everything with intention,
mm-hmm,
regardless of whether it's an event, whether it's a restaurant opening, we're tailoring the need by design to deliver a product that fulfills that specific need. And so that's when TBD started very slow doing social media agency stuff. At that time, like restaurants were digging into Instagram, just trying to figure out what they were going to do. So working with a lot of small business owners and then got quasi-recruited / like busted down the door to work with Chef Michael Mina,
mm-hmm,
with the Mina Group, and kind of came into a job at the time. I didn't recognize it, but at the time I was wildly underqualified for. And I dive in and we end up opening 14 restaurants in 12 months.
Yeah, now Mina Group is not a small group. So for you guys that don't know, look it up. Michael Mina is one of the top dogs in the restaurant world. I don't know how many Michelin rated stars restaurants they have, but they have quite a few in their portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been to many other restaurants. I mean, you walk out, it's like orgasm food. Eating, I mean, just orgasmic, right? It's
just
everything has a full explosive flavor and the quality, right? So and I wanted to actually comment on Tailored by Design. When I think of Tailored by Design, I'm thinking like a tailored suit, right? Mm-hmm. It's custom. You want to do things at the highest level, and so you can see that you're already manifesting the direction that you're going.
Totally.
So, and to me, that's important. It's what I did in the events world, right? Mm-hmm. I came in, and something you said earlier, we're only as good as our last event, and that was something that one of my mentors taught me. He was the godfather of nightlife. I mean, this guy started in the nightlife industry before I was even born. So, The point was is that he taught me a lot of those principles too, is do things at the highest quality.
Yeah.
And don't waste your time on the small things. Do things, if you're gonna put that same amount of time and energy, focus on bigger things, bigger risk, bigger rewards. Going where you're at, right? You're tailoring by design your lifestyle and where you're going, and look what you manifested. You land with the Michael Mina.
And originally was I like what you're talking about, where it's like a tailored suit. And sometimes, like, if someone's like, if I say the name, they're like, "Oh, you're a tailor. Like, that's your job." And I'm like, "No, not my job." But like at the same time, I think whenever anyone should tackle any type of task, it should be with the goal in mind of being best in class.
That's right.
Best in class doesn't necessarily have to mean luxury or fancy. It just has to mean that you're the best at whatever that particular area is. Like,
that's right.
The best in class food truck is not the same as the best in class Michelin restaurant. But if you're striving for each one of those in your field,
right,
like you have a constant drive of improvement. And I think sometimes that a lot of business owners lack that. And I wanted to bring that new energy as someone who was wanting to be a business owner at the time.
Yeah.
That, I don't want to say youthful exuberance, but kind of like, man, you have an opportunity. You have a business that's so great. You're not pushing anymore. You've gotten complacent. And like, here are the areas of your business that you can push forward. So when we landed with the MENA Group, we opened up 14 restaurants, 12 months, Nashville, Chicago, Honolulu, Dubai, crazy markets, LA. And I was just like a young marketing manager writing the opening business plans or the marketing plans and really learning how is this wildly talented chef able to open up 14 restaurants in 12 months in different markets with different use cases. And it's a very unique business model that people only like Michael have the ability to execute at that high level. But I learned so much, just like so much stuff from him. And that whole experience was just...
Let me ask, do you think that he was able to do that? One, because of his experience, but two, is it because of building a team and he had the bandwidth to build a team for that?
Experience, team, systems and processes, understanding that you don't need to reinvent the wheel if the wheel works. And one of the biggest openings I worked on was International Smoke, which is the concept Michael MENA partnered with Ayesha Curry. Obviously, Ayesha Curry, big brand name here. Once we opened up that restaurant and I decided to leave, the amount of opportunities that opened up again for TBD was wild because it was like, oh, yeah, he worked on Ayesha Curry's restaurant. And just that brand recognition and that brand name that Ayesha brought to the restaurant, don't get me wrong, the girl's got skills in the kitchen. She's just as talented. Like, everyone's like, oh, she's a lifestyle brand. No. That girl can throw down. She's spectacular in marketing and also in the kitchen. But that just opened up a lot of doors for me. So took the opportunity to go and continue to do that and started doing restaurant consulting. And then during my time with the MENA Group, one of the things I noticed was like in the social media realm and marketing, video marketing was just starting to take off. It was like, here's an opportunity. So I partnered with a friend of mine who was doing kind of some low-key video work down in Santa Cruz. His name's Austin Paul, and we partnered together to create a video agency, and that kind of takes us to me coming to San Jose now. I'd been a Sharks fan. I'd come to San Jose. My parents aren't big city people, San Francisco city people or Oakland city people, but for whatever reason, Santana Row, it's a comfortable environment, so they would always go. We'd go to Maggiano's. So, like, San Jose, spent a lot of time here. My brother's a San Jose State student, so we'd go to La Vix before a game and cover it in orange sauce and do the whole thing. And I was at a restaurant in San Francisco. I'll never forget this. One of the projects I worked on with the MENA Group was a food hall called The Street, which was a food hall in the heart of Honolulu in the international marketplace. And I got like one day off. I was there for, I think it was like 45 days. And during those 45 days, I got one day off. And I went and toured this different district within Honolulu called Kaka'aku. And at the time, they had just finished a street art festival, which was at the time called Powwow Worldwide. Mm-hmm. Now it's called Worldwide Walls. And I loved it. The street art was just impeccable and really connected with it. And when I came back here, I was dining at a restaurant in San Francisco, and this person came out of the bathroom wearing a hat that said Powwow San Jose. Basically cornered this woman coming out of the bathroom. I was like, wait, San Jose has a powwow? What? Like, probably was frightening to her. And it ended up being Stacy Kellogg, who's one of the directors of SJ Walls and a dear friend of mine now. And I said, hey, I'm going to use the restroom real quick, but when I'm done, like, I want to get involved with SJ Walls any way I can, and ended up doing some of the video work for SJ Walls that then led to doing some video work for Visit San Jose, which then led to like consulting for Visit San Jose on a couple of different projects, and then got connected with Gary, who's a, you know, a business partner of ours, and it was a cold email.
Yeah. Well,
and
by the way, on the whole Gary, before you go deep into that, so far, the history that you've shared, it's been a journey, yeah. Right? And then Zach, you're not that old, man. You're young.
Thank you.
And you've been blessed to have this young experience and lots of great experiences. And then
definitely
to have some of the great, probably one of the greatest chef or restaurant operators to have mentored you, to have had the experience, mm-hmm. because all of that is, again, part of your manifestation. You're part of where you're going as an entrepreneur, right? Because yeah. your entrepreneur spirit has already been awakened from a long time ago, whether you knew it or not.
Totally.
And when you started your consulting business, and that's what today's about, right? It's talking about entrepreneurship. It's talking about what does it take. And then the big one that's coming soon, right, is jumping off the cliff, and which I made when you made the big decisions, mm-hmm. right? I said, well, welcome to the team, buddy, because now you better learn to fly because it happens, right?
Yeah.
Gary, and I'm looking forward to having him on the show here. We're actually working on a project, all three of us, because we got some big things planned for the future.
Fingers crossed, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's going to happen. I've already thrown it out there, and it's coming back. The universe is going to bless us with that one. Gary Dillabove, depending on how you want to pronounce
big,
it.
Big Gary D.
I like that one, yes. That talk about someone that has big thinking, mm-hmm. global thinking, who is now mentoring both of us.
Yep.
Along with his business partner, Jeff Arriaga, mm-hmm. along with Tony Ariola,
Mark Lazzarini.
Yep. We got four of the biggest titans in the Silicon Valley in development in downtown San Jose. There's others.
Yeah.
They want to give credit to. There's the J. Pauls. There's the
J. Pauls, Boston Properties, yeah. Urban Catalyst. KMT Urban. Like, I mean, the list goes on.
There's a bunch of groups, but we're lucky to be working with active ones right now that are actively going to be going vertical soon. And that goes into where I know you were going to lead into possibly a consulting opportunity with Gary.
Mm-hmm.
Then it just all of a sudden is going to start to unfold to what we're going to go into next.
Yeah, so. I had cold emailed. It's wild, man. When I think about those early days as a DJ, it was cold email.
Yeah.
It's like
a cold call, man.
It's like swinging the bat. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's my wording. I don't know if my name brings some certain level of comfort, but cold email has been wildly successful for me.
Yeah.
In establishing new relationships, in mentorship, in business connections. So I shot him a cold email. I had a couple of friends where I was like, hey, want to open up a restaurant, want it to be in San Jose. I think there's opportunity, which is what I felt 5 to 6 years ago and I still feel today.
Yeah. And it's going to happen. I'm going to tell you. I know we're working on this because that's where we're gonna also talk about is the partnership that we're building. But yeah, let's Gary, what's that?
I threw him a cold email and I was kind of like, hey man, I know that everybody at this time there was a Mercury News article that came out and literally it was titled like this person owns more land then a tech company that shall not be named, and we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. Actually, at the time, the I remember what article it was. Mm-hmm. They owned equally just as much land or property, which was in the I think it was in the billion.
Yeah, it was like over $1 billion worth of real estate.
Yeah, actually, it was about close to two billion. So you got $2 billion worth of each side.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I remember that article. Yeah.
It comes out and I send him a cold email. I don't even know how I found his email, honestly, because there's like a few that it could be. So I reach out to him and I'm like, hey, I'm assuming everyone right now is like pitching you for capital, right?
Yeah.
Like you just had this article come out saying that you own a ridiculous amount of real estate. I just want to meet with you because like, I think the future of San Jose is exciting. How can I be of service?
Oof.
We ended up meeting for coffee. That led to a brief consulting stint with him where he put me on a journey that I very much am on today where it's like, look at the entire downtown ground plane.
Yep.
Look at all the retail. Imagine you owned all of it.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do?
Yep.
And at the time, man, I was just like a humble restaurant cat who had helped open a couple restaurants and like had just learned from one of the best. And I did everything by gut feel.
Yep.
And just made quick decisions and turned in the project essentially March 2020.
Man, I remember where I was at March 2020.
It was wild timing, boom, COVID hits. We start this little project. He's like, hey, I want to give back to the community. Let's start this little project. And the project ended up being SJ Ship Kits, which was essentially packaging games, food, variety of other things. And then we were providing it for people that were in need. Which then,
well, yeah, by the way, if you don't know what happened on March of 2020, COVID, fucking world closed, turned upside down. You know, we had people like Gary, right?
Yeah.
And others that really cared about what the fuck was happening in this world. I mean, there was a lot of uncertainty. I don't know. I think I've shared with you my billion-dollar unicorn, my media company, Latin Live, blew up. We had just in February had filed all of our SEC forms to go public in June, July.
Yep.
And our company was based on revenue of concerts and events across the United States. All the Latin shows were being ran through our platform. So for me, I mean, it was crazy. I think I told you we were looking at what yacht we were going to buy. and we were one-upping each other until my partner said, we're getting one with the helicopter landing pad. I said, fuck, all right. Might as well. I'm in, right? Yeah.
Because that's what you need when you have a yacht. Right. Yacht's not enough. We need a helicopter pad.
Right. In case I need to get off and go grab something that we forgot, right? Yeah.
We're in the middle of the ocean. I got to go to Costco real quick and buy some TP.
Life really turned upside down in 2020 for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But for a lot of people as well, the opposite. A lot of great opportunities and a lot of shift, right? Mm-hmm. For me, actually, what happened then, it may sound tragic, but to me it was just maybe I wasn't ready for that moment. I was thinking yachts instead of thinking of what global impact can I make.
I like that.
You got Gary that's thinking the world just turned upside down. How can I package to help others?
Yeah. How can I package goods, right?
And I'm like, so to me, in contrast, right, we're looking at this thing as one guy's on this path and then one guy shifts gears. It's already in the B club. And just says, hey, how do we shift resources?
Yeah.
You're already manifesting, you're already talking about all the different things that you want to do, and the universe puts you in path.
Yeah, and that
in Gary's radar, and now look what you're doing now. You're starting to package things for those in need.
There's a really cool, and it's one of the things I try to stick myself by to keep myself grounded. There's a really cool country song that says, one of God's greatest gifts is unanswered prayers.
Oof.
And at that time,
at
that time, like the only thing I wanted was a restaurant. Mm-hmm. I didn't want anything else. And if I would have had the restaurant, we had just started, like we would have literally just been opening and then COVID would have came.
Yeah.
And the situation I'd be in today would be wildly different than where I was then. I would have had a lost restaurant. I would have had debts and services that I would have had to pay for. And I would have felt like a failure. And in a weird way, that holding back allowed me to learn more, allowed me to grow more, allowed me to mature more. And so we end up working on SJ Ship Kits for a period of time. I then get an opportunity to work with another restaurateur, putting TBD on hold.
Yeah.
End up working with Vine Hospitality, which just opened Rilotti's in downtown San Jose.
Yeah. And they also own restaurants in Santana Row.
They have a pretty large portfolio. Yeah. They're a really talented restaurant.
You jump from one badass group to another group that's you know, not as high, but that's still very, you know, very successful and have some pretty high end brands in San Jose.
I also got to work with a startup, my buddy, who at the time, it's crazy. The original restaurant group I worked for back at the house, I was my title was marketing intern. Like I was literally ground level. I ended up partnering during the pandemic with Greg Nasser, who is still a great friend, mentor today, and he was starting a startup called Born Technology.
Mm-hmm.
He was the VP of ops. He was the number two in the company. And then a couple years later, I ended up partnering with him on trying to basically formulate this machine learning algorithm that today, essentially, you can take any restaurant space on planet Earth, run it through the algorithm, and it'll pop out what the most successful restaurant will be in that space.
Wow.
What the revenue will be, what the best hours of operations will be. So I'm working on that. I'm also working with Obadiah Ostergaard, who's really talented restaurateur, Vine Hospitality. Yeah. They're going through a stage of growth. I'm working directly with him on writing business plans and putting more butts in seats, because that's what you need when you want a restaurant. That's on the end of the pandemic, is we need butts in seats to operate. Work with them for just over a year, help create a variety of business plans, that end up becoming actual restaurants.
Nice.
Petit Left Bank up in Tiburon, Relati's Restaurante, which is obviously here in San Jose, which is the hottest new restaurant in San Jose.
Yeah, and actually I just ran into
Obadiah.
Obadiah, I just ran into him on last week at the Boys and Girls Club dinner.
Oh, nice.
And actually told him that for my birthday this year, I'd like for him to cater my birthday. So we're going to do a big birthday bash for me.
In the Sinostra room down there
actually,
at Relati's.
No, we're going to take it. We're going to bring it here where I'm safe, right? Yeah. In my own safe house. No, so we're going to have Relati's do the catering for
That's
us.
That's awesome.
Again, one, because we want to support our downtown businesses.
Local businesses.
Yeah. And again, it's part of the embracement, right? We talk about being, I talk about being hyper-focused in a certain area. And for me, the downtown San Jose region, with all the new developments, all the amount of money that's being invested in this region, there's probably more money being invested in this per square miles than anywhere else right now. I mean, if you think about it, there's probably about $10 billion that probably by the time it's all said and done, $10
billion
plus new infrastructures and all the stuff that's going to be coming in the next 3 to 5, 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So in the next 10 years, there's the skyline is going to change, the transformation. There's a lot of transformation that's going to be happening.
According to the San Jose Downtown Association, who I just happened to, I've had a couple of meetings with them this week, and there's 50 new projects in the downtown corridor that are entitled, which is wild to think about, right? Like 50 new buildings?
Yeah. Well, the only thing that's holding things back right now is just where we're at in the time of the world right now.
Financing.
Right? Financing right now, the cost of capital is so much. Mm-hmm. But I also believe that all of this happens for a reason, right? It gives everyone, it fades out all the non-real players, right? And
totally.
It allows the real players, it's like survival of the fittest here, right? Mm-hmm. So those that can survive these
survival of the most dedicated. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. And you know what? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what it comes down to even for us, right? As entrepreneurs, we're continuing our path and we're consistent and our work ethic is impeccable. We don't play around when it comes to what we want to do.
Yeah.
And going back to what Gary, the opportunities that he's given you, you've obviously been able to catapult to other things.
Yeah.
You went and you were working with a group, not only with the restaurant group, but you also pivoted.
With the landlord side, right?
Yeah.
So basically left Vine Hospitality, got a job with a large commercial landlord called Jamestown LP.
Mm-hmm.
They owned Chelsea Market in New York, Industry City, in Brooklyn, Pond City Market. What's funny is I didn't even know it when I applied for the job at the time, but I really landed with probably the most food-friendly landlord.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the president of the company sits on the James Beard board of directors, which is crazy. And landed this project where essentially we were working in a consulting, fairly new for the company, for a large search engine
that
owns a variety of land called Downtown West.
All right.
And
I think I know what it is.
Yeah.
Just to save my show from becoming into a fucking lawsuit here. We're not going to mention it.
But
anyways, it's a big one. It's a big search engine. So definitely.
So ended up getting to work in a role with a really talented landlord, learning so much again. Like, what's funny is I find when I'm in an entrepreneurial role, I make more money than if I work for a company.
Absolutely.
But when you work for a company, if you really put on that learner's mindset, man, you can pick up so much to help inform that next entrepreneurial journey or that next leap that you
That's
take.
Right.
So we ended up launching an events program called Creekside Socials last year.
Yeah.
We hosted somewhere in the ballpark like 25 events in the span of 3 months.
It was right after our block party season, so we'll take a little step back before we jump into that. But last year, we actually, when we have crossed paths, which you had mentioned when we first connected, but we touched base on when I launched the first block party downtown, the historic district. I was working with Eric Glatter over at UVI. He's the former executive director of UVI. And that's something that was started by Gary DeLevove, Jeff Arriaga,
Tony Ariola,
and Mark Lazzarini. were the Ford founding members
of
that.
We got to get them a nickname, man. Yeah. I don't know if we call them like...
The Ford Titans.
Yeah,
I don't know,
Titans,
man.
The Titans, the Syndicate, something like that. They just...
So they started this nonprofit organization. Actually, it was from a transformation from Ship Kids.
Yeah,
that's
it comes
right.
full circle.
Yeah, so I remember that Tony's been mentoring me now for quite some time, also incubating some of my projects. Mm-hmm. And next thing I know, he's telling me about these block parties, and I'm just like hearing this from the outside looking in, and I'm just like, it just doesn't sound like it's all well put together yet. So I volunteered and I said, hey man, let me help you. How can I be of service? Oh man, I love when you say that. Yeah. How can I be of service? And when I sat down for the first meeting in the office, that was actually the first time that I got to meet Gary. And we got to sit down at the table, and I got to see when he started whiteboarding stuff. I was like, "Oh man, you're the same. We're the same from the same." I love to whiteboard. I love to shoot ideas. I fucking love to talk. And I saw the vision. When I saw the direction that it was going, I was like, "You know what? It's going to need my help. Mm-hmm. Let me see how much I can bring to the table." So we kicked off. The first one was in the historic district. It was right after one of the carabiners that they had put together at the improv. And
I think I just came up.
Yeah, no, you were standing right next to Gary. I remember exactly. And you shook my hand. You're like, hey, Mauricio, I know who you are. I've heard of you. And yeah. I would love to follow up with you. But the confidence level was just exuding, right? I was like, fuck, who's this fucking kid? I'm like, I appreciate it, right? Yeah. But I'm looking at you again. You have this young look, and I'm looking at... But I just appreciate it because I'm thinking, like, how would you know me? You look too young to know me, right? Because I'm in my mind, right? But I appreciated that. And I said, yeah, let's follow up. And we followed up. Mm-hmm. And then that set, to me, the wheels in motion, right? The momentum to where we now come to where we're at here. Again, another full circle, right? Mm-hmm. Where as we finished the season, we did 4 block parties last year. We did a historic district. We did the sofa district. We did San Pedro Square,
Little Italy.
And then we did the last one at Little Italy. All of them were very successful, and all of them were well attended. To then, as soon as that was done, around that time you had started, you were kicking off
Creekside Socials
in the, right across from the SAP Center.
Downtown West.
And it was like all eyes were now on like, oh shit, who's just popping off like these block parties now? Like what, right? Like, And what I want, with the curiosity is like, what can we learn from working with a no budget to someone that probably had an unlimited budget
or a bigger
budget?
It was important for us to make impact. Yeah. I think anybody who's hosting whatever it is, right? Yeah. Whether it's J. Paul launching Feast Mode last year.
Yeah.
Whether it's the UVI block parties, whether it be Creekside Socials, the whole point of it is really to have impact.
Right.
And I think that Creekside Socials, I would say did a good job. I think they did. What's funny is most people didn't know. Like we did the one block party, right? We did the kickoff. Then it wasn't really talked about again. But we had hosted in the ballpark of 25 events in the span of 3 months.
Yeah,
like it wasn't just we did one. We did one that was obviously larger and had.
Well, it was a kickoff.
It was a kickoff, right?
And the way I looked at the rest were they were just a bunch of little micro events.
Yeah,
right?
we were trying to. There's a really Stacey Kellogg bringing it back full circle. Empire 7 Studios. If you guys don't know, now you know because they're the best. I love Empire 7. I think they do a fantastic job in the art scene here in San Jose, which is one of the very few scenes that I think are thriving. But she said one time to me, you know, what they do really well, what Empire 7 does really well, is they celebrate a variety of subcultures within San Jose. I've learned that is what makes San Jose so special, right? Mm-hmm. There's a variety of subcultures of people that are doing very interesting things within their own particular niche. And Creekside Socials, from an event standpoint, I think did a really good job on celebrating a variety of those cultures, right? In those topics, right? Health and wellness. We were having yoga pop-ups. We did a kind of like essentially a scavenger hunt run. And then we also, like the day before, had a lowrider event where we released the ABCs of lowriding, which was a lowrider's children's book, all the way to like having Empire 7 did a variety of art classes on our site, intro to spray paint, intro to macrame, intro to wheat pasting with a lot of talented local artists.
Yeah.
And so Creekside Socials was a learning curve and something that I'll take with me. I think it was working with Jamestown. they are one of the most involved landlords. Can't say enough positive things about what I learned there, the people I worked with, and I'm really proud of what was put together at Creekside Socials. I think it was solid.
I think Gary said it best. You got to go get your PhD. Mm-hmm. Got to higher education by learning, right?
Yeah.
Executing.
Yeah.
And executing. And I know that we have some years difference, but I mentioned to you, I think when they offered us the opportunity of taking on the UVI projects for 2024 season of creating these block parties, this next season, mm-hmm. how great of an opportunity now to actually now sit at the table mm-hmm. weekly with four great minds that are thinking on a grander scale, but yet thinking still on the ground floor, right? Because these block parties are more, they're goodwill events.
Yeah.
And they're also, how do we bring community within the community, within business communities mm-hmm. together?
It's all about collaboration, man.
So that they can also learn how to work together versus creating these silos for themselves. And that's really what we did. We created these block parties, and then now this year we added two more block parties.
Yep.
And
new neighborhoods, districts that we're going to be doing. Paseo de San Antonio, which has got some really exciting openings coming up very soon, which I think will be huge for the city of San Jose, not only from a restaurant standpoint, but also the new San Jose Tower.
Yeah.
That's
going
to be taking over there, bringing some of the college campus into the downtown corridor.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of great stuff that's coming that I'm really excited. And then it got you to going back to entrepreneurship, right? And then you taking the next big steps as this opportunity comes, right? Entrepreneurship is all about risk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what an entrepreneur is we're willing to take those risks. And that's why I say I use the analogy of jumping off the cliff, right?
Yeah.
Because that's really what it is. You just run and you jump
and
you better learn to fly because it's not forever the free fall.
Yeah.
And that also allowed you to flourish Tailored by Design.
Yeah, what I'll say is, you know how there's that nervousness whenever you're jumping off a cliff.
Oh, I saw
it.
I saw the nervous the nervous twitch on you, but
yeah.
And it was, I don't want to say it was funny.
Yeah.
But I mean, for me, I've been an entrepreneur since I was a kid.
Yeah.
I've never had a job.
Mm-hmm.
And the only job that I had was I got to work with mentors.
Yeah.
And I got paid for for what I was doing. But I never looked at it as a job. And for me to reach pinnacles, high pinnacles in my early years,
mm-hmm.
it just, again, so when I saw when we proposed, what we proposed and it was accepted, that to me was a small win, but it was a small win in the right direction because now it opens up a whole bunch of other doors to a lot of other great things.
Yeah, totally.
So Tailored by Design, to me, just kind of it blooms again, right? It goes through its seasons,
yeah.
And at the same time, it allows me to get into a creative space, which then allows me to then start thinking, well, what can I do? Because I'm not going to use my name. It's not going to be a Mauricio Mejia and Zach Waldron presentation. It's going to be a Tailored by Design along with what? And to me was, let me keep it simple, right? Keep it simple, stupid. I was like, I'm not trying to give it some like real cool factor name because we're trying to just sell simplicity.
Yeah.
San Jose Live, right? Why? Because that's what we want to do. We want to make San Jose Live, I don't want to say again, but we really just want to bring out that vibrancy again now, right?
Yeah, can we touch on that a little bit?
Yeah.
A couple different things. Going back to the nervousness or the nervous twitch, I'm fortunate enough that from my family, however I was brought up, I have a pretty strong, confident demeanor about myself. And
sometimes I think a little too much, but I love it. No, it's good. I mean,
I
love it because sometimes I think like this fucking cocky motherfucker. But you know what? I've always loved that.
Yeah.
Why? Because I'm that way too.
Totally.
Because we can walk into a room and we can command presence and we know how to direct. It's not we walk into a room and fucking shit all over the place. We walk into the room and respectfully we can speak to the guy behind the kitchen or behind the bar,
mm-hmm.
or we can speak to the guy that's running or orchestrating to the point where we can speak to the ownership and be on a relatable on all levels.
For me, it's just like where my confidence is founded, right? I think it's founded in the love I have with my family. I think it's founded in my faith. And I think it's founded in a variety of different vehicles. But, you know, that nervousness of naturally like jumping off the cliff also at the same time felt like a coming home party.
Yeah. Right?
It felt very much like I'm stepping back into the role of where I really am supposed to be, also predicated on like when the mission is bigger than you are.
Yeah.
Like, for me, the mission I have for Tailored by Design isn't just founded in I want to be successful.
Right.
Because if that's like what you're founded in, it's never going to work.
Never.
Because like define success, and success is like the dog chasing its tail. Like the next thing is always going to be just like the next thing.
Yeah.
So for me, finding a mission specifically around San Jose and specifically around creating great places was the mission was bigger. So there was a nervous twitch naturally, like, hey, there's a certain income stream that's cutting off. That's going to be different, but it also felt like coming home. And
listen, man, any time that you're starting something new, there's that nervousness, right? Mm-hmm. Look, when we sat down at the table and they said, yes, hey, you guys are doing it. We're like, oh shit, they went for it. Oh,
wait,
man,
now we got to do it.
Now we got to produce, right?
Totally.
And now it's showtime because the wheels are in motion now, forward.
Totally.
So there's no, oh, hey, guys, by the way, it's not going to happen. No, that shit doesn't happen here. It's now you're doing it and we have to perform. And that's the exciting part, right? Because that's the fuel. I call that, that's my rocket fuel. That's the rocket fuel that's going to fuel us to now take it to that next level, to build the collaborations, the partnerships, right, with all the different groups. This is where we get to put all of our talent on the table and say, all right, what pieces are we moving? We're playing chess now here, right? So every piece on the table, every position has its role, and we're going to make this thing happen. And the things that we're starting to create, that to me is just the excitement. I'm excited about 2024. I said it since the beginning. 2024 is my year. I'm owning it. And those that are around me, I'm going to take them with me and lift them all up and make sure that we can all be successful. And I agree with your definition. Success to me is not of the material things. I've been through that. I've got to experience that at a young age, and I know what it's like to have it, and I know what it's like to lose it. Not have it, but lose it. Literally lose it. And I always tell people, I make the joke, I went from Ferrari 360 Spider to Ford Focus. I mean,
Ford Focus,
hey,
my man.
Hey, $40 to go 300 miles, I'm cool. Versus $75 to go 100 miles, $100 to go 75 miles. No. It's just a shift in mindset, right? So, going back to it, entrepreneurship, the fact that you felt home. I like that.
Yeah,
I like
felt
that.
Felt at home.
You felt now that you were on the right path. And that's why I told you, I said, it's going to just build from this point moving forward.
Totally.
Because there's a lot of things that I know as well from being on the back end side and listening, being exposed to the things that I'm being exposed to, that I know that if we stay and play our cards right, we are going to, this is only the beginning. Because in the next 5 years, 10 years, as the city transforms, we are going to have that opportunity to be on the ground floor level where we make it on the way up. You don't make it on the top. You make it on the way up, and you get to witness it, and you get to see things that nobody gets to see. So right now, we're about to see all the first waves of great things that are coming. And we're gonna make shit happen, man. I'm excited.
It's gonna be a fun year. And I think one of the things you touched on is like, I don't want to say that it's San Jose popping off for the first time, right?
Mm-mm.
Like,
San Jose's been popping off since the 80s, man.
Yeah.
It's had its cycles. There's always been vibrancy.
Totally.
The energy. San Jose has so much great history that we're going to re-expose and re-remind people and expose to this next generation that's coming in. Because a lot of the next generation is coming in. They're hip. There's a lot of cool things that are happening in San Jose, in the South Bay, in the Bay Area. One thing I always tell people, we are in the global capital of the world, Silicon Valley. San Jose is the epicenter of this valley.
Of innovation, of technology.
Everything that comes has been started in this valley from the iPhone.
Yeah.
from the computers. I mean technology, and it's crazy because this was a farmland. This was farming community.
Orchard.
Yeah, these were orchards. But to think that something brought all these minds to this area, whatever it may be, what we're going to add to this thing, or we're going to resurface, is the vibrancy, the excitement, music, arts, mm-hmm. culture, restaurants, entertainment,
yeah.
all of the above.
And what's one of the things I really want to touch on is, like, whenever you have conversations with people, they always land on, like, San Jose needs to be more like
yeah.
blank. Fill in the blank, right? Los Angeles, San Diego, San Francisco, Miami, New York. It needs to be like those places. But when you talk about historical context,
yeah.
like, I think that's where places really are unique, right? Like, the history of San Jose is only the history of San Jose.
Yeah.
So how can we bring back some of that history, whether it be through events, whether it be through activations, whether it be through restaurant concepts, whether it be through even just the design of a place? How can we bring back that historical context that makes San Jose a place that's unique of its own?
Yeah.
Because if a person really wanted San Jose to be like San Diego, they would move to San Diego.
Hello.
They wouldn't be living here.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, like, yeah, I understand the idea. The idea is I want a San Jose that's of my own. Like, yeah. as someone who's lived in San Diego, like, my San Diego is going to be way different than Mauricio's San Diego.
Yeah.
But I want my San Jose, what I'm looking for, to be yeah. here. And I think as we're going to build, right, we'll say, not this new San Jose, but this place of San Jose, I think we need to constantly be informed by the people that are living here and having them have their opinion at the table, but also understand, like, we have an opportunity to bring back history in a really interesting way.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of great things that we can talk about that we can bring resurface again. I totally. Call it resurface.
Yeah.
San Jose was the first capital of California.
Mm-hmm.
Downtown San Jose had a Chinatown. There's a lot of great cultures that were
there. There's five Chinatowns. Most people don't know that. There was five Chinatowns at one time in the city of San Jose. And
yeah.
unfortunately, they all burned down.
Yeah.
What is a way that we can bring Chinatown back?
Right. And how can we commemorate that San Jose was the first capital of California?
Yeah.
There's so many things that we can spin off of. Music, the first radio station was yep. here in San Jose.
Little Ham Radio. It's
yeah.
coming soon. We're
yeah.
gonna bring it back. Little Ham Radio.
There's all kinds of great things. The first Bank of America, Bank
yep.
of Italy, one of our projects, right?
Yep.
Bank of Italy downtown. First Bank of America, I mean, there's, again, so much history here that we're going to play off of
mm-hmm.
and be able to, again, resurface, reimagine.
And reignite.
Yes, exactly. And that's what's going to make us different and set us apart. You know, when we built this studio, I think I've shared with you.
11 days, right?
No, 13 days,
13
right?
13 days.
Our producer of
yeah.
the show.
Janine Escobar.
Janine Escobar.
I'm going to try not to look at her right now, but I know where she is.
Hey,
she's right there.
She's back there. When we first met, we came in and we clicked. We started talking. And this vision, what we built in here, was just a matter of minutes that we talked. And within matters of days, this thing got put together. And we made a statement. It was crazy because we were still thinking of a name, and we came up to Studio B. To me, it's a relation to radio industry.
Okay.
When you think of an on-air room, you have the on-air studio, and
totally.
Then you have Studio B, right?
Mm-hmm.
Studio B is where the DJ and all the cool magic
yep.
happens. So Studio B is what the name we popped up. But what really, and we talk about, like, tailored by design. We keep it simple, right? We made a statement and we said Studio B is going to become, now listen to my words, right? Because then you get the haters out there start fucking.
Let me close the eyes.
So we are going to, Studio B is going to be the number one podcast studio. Now we added a new word, video podcast studio.
Video podcast studio, yes.
In downtown San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
We're not trying to claim the world. We're just going to claim a piece of San Jose.
And it's a big piece,
and
man.
And so we're taking ownership and we're very proud of that. Why? Because if we also set that standard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Set that standard
best
high.
Best in class.
Yeah, best in class. There you go. If we set that standard now, then we know the direction that we're going and what we're manifesting. Goes back to great opportunities that are coming our way.
Yeah.
This studio is going to be, there's going to be a lot of great CEOs that are going to be interviewed in this room.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to produce a lot of the shows that are going to be coming out. Why? Because, again, we want to continuously bring resurface, reignite the history of San Jose. And a lot of the people that we're going to be we're going to go through the top 100 list of
Power 100.
Imagine with how much content and time that's going to take to go through that. I mean, I don't think we're going to finish that list in 1 year. We have so much time and so much runway to do a lot of great things. But we have to start building the foundation. We have to set the standard, and we have to build our team.
And also, you know, it takes, and one of the things that you carry with you, no matter what work you're tackling, it's like hard work's not hard when there's passion involved, right? Like, if you tell somebody, if you would have told Janine, I need this done in 13 days, and she didn't have a certain level of passion behind it, it wouldn't have been done.
No.
You don't do the late nights. You don't do the power shuts off. You don't tackle those hurdles with a certain level of diligence if you don't have passion towards it.
Right.
And I think San Jose, certain players, we're not going to say names, just like lack the passion, or they lost the passion along the way, right? Yeah. And it's like, how can we reignite that passion back into the everyday work of something that at one time you were wildly passionate about? Now,
I think we will. I think that the team right now the team that is being built and the movement that we're creating right now is going to allow us, once those doors are open for us, to go in and plant those seeds and make it contagious, right? Because we have to change the narrative as well, right? We don't want the narrative of, I want San Jose to be like, right?
Exactly.
No, San Jose is like this, or San Jose is going to be because we're going to change those narratives. We're going to make sure that the people that get exposed to it will see the positive highlights versus all the negative highlights, right? Because right now we have a fresh canvas, and that's the beautiful part about this partnership, right?
Totally.
I mean, we get to come together, we get to change the narrative, we get to create the smoke and mirrors, we get to create the ride. Now, going back to entertainment, we now get to navigate and create that narrative, the user experience of whether music, fashion, art, culture, food, entertainment, all the beautiful things and great things that we get to now start to pull the strings. So for me, we're playing the long game here. I'm excited about
when the
mission's
big, it requires a long game, right? And what did your mentor tell you about, like, if the problem's not big enough, like you need to be tackling the big things, because if you spend the level of detail on the small things,
like, the same amount of time and energy you spend on the small things, you could be spending on the bigger things.
Mm-hmm.
And the larger the risk, the larger the reward.
Totally.
And that to me is very important. And that's what allowed me at a young age to hit those marks that I wanted in my life, those pinnacles I called. It's not to brag, but I did my first $1 million deal at 25, 28, multimillionaire. Got to have all those things, but I didn't have the discipline and the knowledge that I do now, that when I lost everything, I was like, but I knew how to make it.
Mm-hmm.
It allowed me to get back on my feet quick, right? Get back up and then start pivoting and start playing in the game again. I didn't fucking like, oh, poor me, or going down. No. That didn't exist, because I was now in survival mode, right?
Yeah.
especially when you've tasted the good things of life, and then you don't have them, you're like, fuck, you want them back. So it just makes you work harder. But along that way, you get to learn more about yourself, right? So to me, my drive, my bigger dreams have gotten bigger, and I want to, again, share those with others, to the point where once these big opportunities start to happen, we're going to share them with everyone, everyone, the community, and we're going to bring community together. And I think that I said it in one of our meetings. I said, I met my yin and yang in this business partnership, because I know that with our work ethic being the way it is, and the team and the people that we're going to surround ourselves, all we know is high standard execution at the highest level, and then keep moving forward momentum. So,
yeah.
Man, it's exciting times, man. It's exciting times. So
yeah, I'm excited to see, you know, San Jose today, San Jose tomorrow, and the impact that I get to leave on it, whatever that looks like, and bringing in the collaborations of people. I was fortunate enough at Creekside, I got to do that, right? I got to bring in the people that I really knew were going to. What's funny is the people that I wanted to bring in. It's one thing to be like, yeah, I'm repping the homies, right? Because I think there's a portion of that that's always needed.
We got to keep our street credibility.
So like, you
sometimes
like,
we got to get out of the hood.
In.
We got to get out of the hood for some of us, right? You got to.
Yeah.
It's a change of mindset. right?
Yeah, it's different.
And I know where you're going to go with this, where the direction you're going, but share with us, because this kind of tells me the dreams and the vision that you want to go. So who are some of the dream clients or some of the big vision things that you see coming? And us working together with, because at this point, man, we're swinging this big bat hard now, man. We're batting, we definitely gotta get on base.
Yeah, and I think
frequently.
I think it's a couple different things. I think that one, there's obviously so many great companies and people that are here.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's as much as people have the narrative I want San Jose to be like, I'm the opposite. I want to put on the people that are here.
Yeah.
As much as I can. I think there's really great companies that have opportunities for us to work with. I would love to see how we can activate Adobe because it's like one of the most creative companies in the world.
Yeah.
Like how can we bring that more into the city? I think there's really talented people within the city that I would just love to provide whatever those resources are. Empire 7, one of them. I think they are an incredible organization. And like, how can we make SJ Walls the biggest street art festival in the nation?
Yeah.
Utilizing the partnership with Worldwide Walls, like some of those connections already exist. They're just not being like really utilized enough. I think,
I think we also have to be mindful that we just came out of COVID. I mean, we're technically
what
a year.
Was that? COVID? COVID? I don't know what that is, man. Fuck. You just ignore it. Yeah. And then it just disappears.
I think that people became, that shifted a lot of mindsets, right? So now we have to reshift, right?
Yeah.
Reignite, right? We keep using that word reignite. People's mindsets now to get out of that shelter, that closed mind, and now get out into the world and not let the distractions become the burden
totally
over us, and allow us to now just become free minded again, free thinking, big thinking, and
absolutely,
all that good stuff. So I also think that not only the groups, the culture groups, but I think that we need to also open up the eyes of our local, the people that are running the city. Right.
Yeah. I mean, we're doing that. Office,
yeah. Within public office, we gotta bring them outside now to start learning how to walk the streets again, to see that we need to reactivate, reignite the streets. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of things that we got a lot of work to do. I mean, it's not just here. Yeah. It's now become a pandemic of itself. The homelessness, the crime, the lack of interest of like urban environments right now. They just came out on there was a study that came out, 95 million square feet of commercial space in New York, empty.
Yeah.
Chicago, second.
Yeah.
San Francisco, third, which is including the Bay Area.
Totally.
Ties in Oakland and San Jose. I think that, again, the things that we're doing now are what's going to create that reignition. And we're seeing it already. San Jose is getting the publicity that there's more. And they've tracked it by phone pings. Scary, right? The big brother watching over.
Big brother's always watching.
They're tracking that San Jose's got more cell phone pings in the evening. So that means that the nightlife in the Bay Area or in the South Bay is thriving. And that's how they're monitoring, I guess. Yeah. So it just...
And when we talk about some of the large organizations that are responsible for that in a good way, right? Like if you're talking about like dream clients, like would love to work with Adobe. I think there's a lot of opportunity there. Would love to work with another big organization, San Jose Sharks, which is really most people's introduction to San Jose is like through the professional sports team coming to what I always growing up was the Tank, but is now, I think it's still SAP, right?
SAP Center. Yeah.
Like, so it's those places and working with those organizations to find a way to have their infrastructure and their ability to connect with the community in a really impactful way. It's also local restaurateurs. I have a client on Santana Row who's opening a really cool project.
Yeah.
And being a part of that. But anyone who wants to make San Jose a better place is who I want to work with,
exactly.
Right?
Like, I'm all for that. Anyone that can make the world a better place?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
San Jose? Absolutely, because we're here, right?
Exactly.
I got my own selfish reasons. And I'm really looking forward to the fact that we're thinking way ahead. I mean, we've already started having conversations about what's coming in the future, and we're as far out as 2026.
Yeah.
We got two major events that are coming here that maybe not a lot of people are aware of, but we got the World Cup coming, mm-hmm, and we got Super Bowl 60 coming back to Levi Stadium. So those two big events are global events that are going to put all eyes in this region. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so a lot of the planning and what we're doing now is setting us up for the big the big show that's totally coming. The global attention, global vision, everything is going to be all set here in the Silicon Valley for two major back-to-back events. I mean, how do you get Super Bowl and the World Cup at the same time?
So both versions of football.
Yeah. So for me, I'm excited again. We're working together, this collaboration, this partnership, and the things that we have outlined for 2024. And then, you know, it's just going to repeat into 2025 and then so on. So I'm excited, Zach. This is going to be some fun times.
We got a big year, man. Yeah. We got a big decade.
Yeah.
But it's going to be good.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to it. So,
well, I'm excited to keep moving forward, and I'm looking forward to our partnership, our year together in creating and sharing with the world some of the way that we see things, right?
Totally.
In our creative form and definitely making some big things happen, man. So anyways, I want to thank you, man. I thank you for taking the time being here today. And I know that I'm going to see you again soon. But I appreciate the fact that you came out and you were on my show, man. This is a big thing for me. And Glenn, I'm very happy that you took the plunge. And don't use that it's not a fear, but that anxiety or that I call it, it's like a magic, right? Mm-hmm. That feeling that it gives you, that butterflies in your stomach, I use that as my rocket fuel.
Totally.
Because fear I don't even allow that in my mindset. When I feel that way, I just it just becomes an energy source.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big faith believer too.
Yeah.
And my faith only becomes stronger when I feel in those moments of darkness or moments of uncertainty.
Yeah.
Where I just sit down, I quiet that noise, and I just have my conversation with the man above.
Yeah. It requires an act of faith, right?
Right.
To actually do it.
And I ground myself. I just had this conversation the other day where it's like a helicopter, right? It takes control, pedals. And you have to realign yourself to stay centered.
Totally.
So sometimes we get out of whack and we have to realign ourselves. And once we realign ourselves and ground ourselves, importantly, and then feel connected to our source, the world is unstoppable, man. There's nothing that can hold us back. So,
anyway. Thank you for letting me be on the show, man.
This has
been fun.
I got to learn a lot of new things too. And I appreciate that, man. And you know what? I'm just glad that you're willing to share that with the world, right?
Because The world is watching,
man.
Yeah, and so. I couldn't be here without your support, without the support of my friends and family, and obviously having, like you said, grounded in faith. Shout out to Vibe Church for anyone that's in San Jose looking for a cool place to go. Vibe Church is the spot. So,
but by the way, you know that this used to be their headquarters.
Or, you told me that. Yeah, it was such a small world, man.
This office or this building, the floor that we're on, this actually was probably one of their administrative rooms. So it's crazy.
That. Yeah.
Crazy. 299 Bassett Street, downtown San Jose.
Studio B. Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Thank you so much, man. This has been fun.
All right. Thank you. And again, I just want to say thank you, everyone, for watching Mauricio Mejia Live, Season 3, Episode Number 4, and we got a lot of great guests coming up, and get ready. Every week, we got something new for you guys. Thank you again. Mauricio Mejia Live.
Mauricio Mejia Live.